Harvest of Blessings brunch sign-up sheet. My computer wasn't working. I was supposed to print that for Christy, so there might be a sheet of paper out there until I can get a good, you know, a printable version of that. So sorry about that, but keep that in mind. It was my fault. So if you would, John, don't even worry about putting the PowerPoint that I, for this, we're not going to use that this morning. So you can leave the screen just like that if you'd like. You know, the lesson that I did have prepared, I decided not to use it. And if you haven't been here or you don't know, we've been going through a sermon series on worship. And we're going to talk about prayer this morning. And I decided to change that just a few moments ago. I told Matt earlier this morning I was thinking about it, and I asked him to lead. I'll fly away before the lesson and to change weary days to happy days in case I did decide to change the lesson. And I'm going to go ahead and do that. And there are several reasons for that. You know, as a minister, I get to... I'm invited into the lives of a lot of the brethren, and I get to see a lot of things and see a lot of the struggles that you go through. And so I'm aware of those things. And of course, you know, this recently, we've lost a sister in Christ. We've lost a brother in Christ. And I know that God tells us from His Word that when one of His children die, it's a good thing, and it is. But that doesn't mean that our hearts aren't hurting, right? And so I have that in my mind, and I've been reading from 1 Kings chapter 19, and I want to talk about three things in that in just a moment that kind of go together with what I know that many of us are going through. And so just bear with me on this, if you would. You know, the fact of the matter is, just sometimes our hearts are hurting. You know, we our world, it seems, is in turmoil. And the fact of the matter is, when that happens, sometimes we become afraid. And, you know, our fleshly nature fears. And in that, then we become distracted. And, you know, and it all goes together. And there's some things that we need to remember. So just bear with me this morning. That's what I want to talk about. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 10 and verse 28, don't fear those who can kill the body, but rather fear Him who's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. And yes, that's a warning, but also it's getting our minds to focus in on what's really important. Because the fact of the matter is, there's turmoil in the world, in our nation, in our lives. Have things taken from us. We lose those that we love, and it hurts, and we're in turmoil. We become distracted, and we become afraid. It's just human nature. You know, we become afraid, and we forget who we are. Or we forget that we're the body of Christ. Colossians 1 and verse 18. We forget this right here in Ephesians 1 verse 7, that in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Sometimes we just simply forget that, don't we? Because of the turmoil, because of the hurt. We forget what we have in Christ. We forget who we are as a body of believers. We forget that we are the blood-bought possession of Jesus Christ. We forget about our inheritance. Same chapter, same book. Verses 18 and 9. He says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saint, and what is the exceeding greatness of power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Sometimes we just forget that, don't we? Become distracted, afraid with the turmoil around us. And, you know, we just forget what we have. And we also forget this. And this is a verse that we've been talking a lot about as we're going through that sermon series on worship. Hebrews 12 and verse 28, we forget that we're part of a kingdom, the church, that cannot be shaken. We forget that. And so when we see these things going on in the world around us and we feel that more personally in our lives, you know, we're tempted to think that maybe the kingdom can be shaken. Maybe it's possible the church can be shaken, but that's just not true. You know, that's Satan deceiving you, and you believe in that. And so we just forget things, and, you know, we just fail to see what we have in Christ. We become afraid. We forget. Sometimes we don't act rationally. Right? If you're afraid, sometimes you just don't act rationally. Right? And we lash out, maybe do things or say things that's not becoming of a child of God. And it's destructive to our faith. So we need to be reminded of some truths here. And what got me thinking about this, if you want to open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings, the 19th chapter here. And, you know, when I think of God's people in fear, I think about Elijah. Right? And just like Elijah, you know, when we are in what appears to be turmoil in our lives and the world around us, we need to be reminded of some truths here, and we need to open our eyes. That's the challenge here, right? Like God is challenging Elijah, he's challenging us to open our eyes to see some things. And I want you to note three things here in this text that I want us to think about. And if you read verses 1 through 9, which we're not going to do, Elijah found his life turned upside down. Elijah found himself in a world of turmoil. Sound familiar? His nation, the people of his nation, are going crazy. Sound familiar? Right? Everything was just turned upside down, and that's this position that Elijah found himself in. Right? Not only in the world around him, but in his personal life. Elijah, even in this, because he was afraid, acting irrationally, asked God to take his life. That's what fear will do to you. But I want you to notice here, Elijah feared for his physical situation, verse 10. So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. Now stop right there. Sometimes we're tempted. You know, if we're faithful Christians, here's a temptation. When bad things happen, we're tempted to lash out at God. Where are you, God? Don't you care? Right? I'm faithful. Don't you see what's happening to me? You see what happens when we're afraid? Listen, even Jesus, you want to read 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 23 through 25? Even Jesus suffered. So don't think that you're something special, that you won't suffer. Right, but the question is, how are you going to respond to that? That's the challenge here. Even Elijah, right? That's what he's saying. I've been very zealous for you, and for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Turmoil. Externally, internally. That's what's going on here. And so he found himself in this situation. He was afraid of real and unreal situations. You know, real, I mean, they were really trying to kill him, but also he was doing something in his mind to create unyet or unreal situations. And we do the same thing, right? It's just simply how the human mind operates. What we fear. And when our world is in turmoil and chaos, you know, it's tough. But I want you to notice here, look at verse 11, read it with me. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. I want you to notice here the answer to this. Number one, basically God saying, stop. right? You're in turmoil, your life, all whatever you're going through. Number one, you got to stop. Right? Take a breath. Psalm 46 and verse 10, be still and know that I am God. You have to stop sometimes. You got to take some inventory. Maybe count your blessings. Right? Instead of focusing on what's bad and what's going on that's wrong in your life, you know, count your blessings. You know, even really start focusing on not just what's going wrong in your life, but what's going right in your life. And that's so hard to do. I understand that. It's difficult for everyone. Let me read to you Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10 here. And the Lord speaking says, fear not, for I am with you. That's right. So number one, the answer is stop. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Listen, our God is awesome, and he loves you, and he'll help you, and he'll guide you and direct you, but stop sometimes. Take some inventory. Don't focus on just what's wrong. Count your blessings. Focus on what's right in your life, what's going good, and you'll regain some proper perspective. And the main thing is, remember who God is and that he's in control, and he's got you. So number one, we're told to stop. But I want you to notice, secondly, there in 1 Kings 19, God says, listen. So number one, stop. Number two, listen. Read it with me. Let's read verses, let's read verse 12. And after the earthquake, remember you had the fire or the wind and the earthquake, right? And after the earthquake, a fire in verse 12. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. Number one, stop. Number two, listen. You got to be listening. You know, we need to seek God and listen to him in the times of fear and turmoil. Right? We need to look at the right places for him, you know, especially when a destructive wind blows through our lives. You know, especially when an earth-shaking event occurs in your life. You know, especially when a destructive fire seems to burn your life down. I need to stop, take some inventory. Number two, I need to listen to God. Right? And notice God wasn't in any of those things. Right? Rather, God, what he wanted Elijah to know, what he wants us to know, that he was found in a still, small voice. But I'm not going to hear that if I'm not listening. And I know that God doesn't speak to us verbally. I get that. I know that. But the question is, am I listening? John the 10th chapter. Open your Bibles real quick over to something Jesus says in John chapter 10. So the question is, am I listening? Right? Am I listening? John chapter 10, I want you to read with me John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. Beginning of verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Are you listening to the words of God? Are you listening to the words of Jesus? What is it that he wants you to know? Right? He wants to tell you things to guide you. He wants to be your shepherd. Are you listening to him as he's being our shepherd? Now look at verse 28. Here's what he wants you to know. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Listen, we're going to end this lesson here in just a little bit in Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning in verse 35. Understand this. God will not force you to leave him. Satan can't force you to leave God. Only you can leave God. Now, Satan's going to play a big part in that and tricking you, especially when your life is in dismay, especially when there's a lot of turmoil going around. But Jesus says, nobody can snatch you out of my hand. You're the only one that can leave the hand of God. So it's all on you. I will give them eternal life. He wants you to remember that. And they shall never perish. Remember what you have in Christ. Stop and listen. Listen to what God's telling you, the wonderful blessings that are available to you. Number three here, I want you to see in 1 Kings chapter 19. The third thing in this, God is basically saying, remember. So stop, listen, and remember when your world's in turmoil, when your heart's hurting, when things aren't going right. Read it with me. If you were to begin in verse 13 here, so it was when Elijah heard it, what did he hear? The small, still small voice of God. He stopped and he listened. He heard the voice of God. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts." So the second time, "God, I've been faithful. Why is this happening to me?" "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left." This is the second time. He's throwing out there the "woe is me" statement, right? Second time. "I alone am left." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus." And then he goes on, he tells him, "I want you to do some things. You need to anoint some prophets. Those of Baal need to be destroyed." But then drop down here and read verse 18. "Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." And that was the turmoil that was going on. All these worshipers of Baal, these false idol worshipers of Baal, very violent, very destructive religion, and a lot of God's people were turning to that and created all that turmoil. But what I want you to think about here is God's basically saying, I want you to remember, number one, you're not alone. Right? And number two, really, in that is, I've got people. I've got people that haven't given up, who haven't turned to that destructive, false religion. You might not see them right there in front of you, but I got people. Listen, brethren, we're not alone in this. And when we're in turmoil, when we're struggling, we need to let each other know so we can bear that each other's burdens, right? We're not alone. And when especially it seems like the world is going crazy, right? Our nation, it seems, is on the verge of insanity with so many different things. We can spend a whole lot of time listing them. You generally know what they are. Our world's in turmoil. Right, our lives can be in turmoil. But listen, you're not alone. God says, I want you to know you're not alone. I've got people out there. He's got people that we can go through this turmoil with. You're not alone in any of this. Another thing that we see here in this last section to remember is get busy. Get busy with the Father's business. That's what he's telling Elijah. Get out there and do these things. You know, so you need to stop, you need to listen, and you need to remember, and part of what we need to remember is get busy working for the Lord. Right? And when you're working for the Lord and you're doing it for his glory, it's easier to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Right? And it's easier to handle that turmoil. And usually when you're working, who are you working with? Each other. Now we can get a better feel of what's going on in each other's lives. Now we can bear each other's burdens. because I'm not hiding away in my house and only maybe making an appearance once a week with the brethren. Remember. Stop, listen, and remember. And, you know, and here's a struggle I have. I've said it before. You know, sometimes we just need to, turn off the news more, right? And pick up God's word and listen. We need to get off Facebook and social media, right? And, you know, those echo chambers that we're so connected with that just bring up the anxiety and the worry, right? Take a fast from Facebook for a week and see how much your life improves, right? You know, you can fast from things more than just food, right? Let me read just a handful of more passages here, and the lesson is yours. You know, and just to kind of add on to that, you know, my struggle, of course, I'm a news junkie for me. I kind of really watch world news a little bit more. And if, you know, listening to national news doesn't scare you enough, start watching a lot of world news, right? You really want to get anxious with everything that's going on. And so we just got to stop sometimes, right? And it's hard to do. It can become addicting to be a part of all that. But here's what I need to remember. Philippians 3 and verse 20, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." I appreciate my citizenship in this great nation. That's nothing compared to where my real citizenship is in heaven. That's my home. I'm just here temporarily. And I got to hang on until I get to my real home. And I can't let turmoil and distractions snatch me away from that. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Read it with me if you would. 1 Peter chapter 5. And what we're going to see here, an answer we don't like to hear sometimes, but we need to stop and listen, right? The answer to a lot of this turmoil, whether it's personally or anything, is to be submissive. That's a hard word. Be humble. Be submissive. Be humble. That's hard for us. All right, Lord, I'm willing to be submissive and humble. How do you want this to play out in my life? He said, Sean, I'm glad you asked. Beginning in verse 5. 1 Peter 5, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility." That's a tough pill to swallow sometimes. But why is it so important? He says, well, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. We need that grace to make it through whatever we're going through. We need that grace, and I'm not going to get it if I'm too proud. And when I'm proud, when I'm filled with pride, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to remember. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Are you reading it? All right, what's part of this, God, that I need to know? He says, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil," this is his perfect, a perfect opportunity to snatch you out of the hands of God when you're in turmoil, when you're hurting, when you're afraid, and in that fear, you're lashing out at God, and you're asking why. He's prowling around, and the vision we get, the imagery here is like a roaring lion wanting to devour you. But I'm going to protect myself if I humble myself. Let God lift me up, let him exalt me. He's given me that grace. "Resist him," verse 9, "steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." You're not alone, right? Elijah, you're not alone. "I have thousands that have not kneeled to Baal." You're not alone. "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory," listen to this, "by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while," perfect. We talked about that Wednesday, right? That word there is not your normal word we translate perfect, but this word means to repair, right? The Greek word here, katarizo, means to repair. So he's going to, after we've suffered a while, he's going to repair us, establish, strengthen, and settle us. You know, John writes in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 that we're going to receive the crown of life if we overcome. What is it that we need to overcome, John, so we can get that crown of life? Well, we need to overcome sin, of course. But as children of God, we need to overcome the temptation to leave God because of the turmoil in our lives. Can you see that? You know, when we're facing a cold and violent world, it's hard to get perspective. Trials, problems, chaos, turmoil. If that's going on in your life, listen, God said, I want you to stop, take some inventory, count your blessings, look at what's right, not just what's wrong. So you got to stop. Be still, know that I'm God. You've got to listen. You got to listen to what God is telling you to help you overcome whatever it is that you're going through. And you need to remember that you're not alone. You're not in this all by yourself. You have strength from God, and He wants to give it to you. Let me read this last passage here, and the lesson is yours. Romans, the 8th chapter, I mentioned it earlier. Let's read it together, and we'll offer the Lord's invitation. In Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Remember, we talked about that. God won't, Satan can't. Only you can separate you from God. And he continues here, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, right? What were all those things? That's that turmoil, whether in the world or in your life. Right? Yet in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. He says, for I am persuaded. Another time that Paul was persuaded was in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. He says, I am persuaded. I know for a fact. I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him until that day. That day when my citizenship in heaven is realized. I am persuaded. Are you persuaded? Are you persuaded that God makes promises and keeps those promises? So Paul again is saying, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ. Only you can. So where are you this morning? How are you doing? What's going on in your life? What is it that you need to bring to God? How can God's people show you the love of Christ in that struggle, in that turmoil? Will you let us show you the love of Christ? The first thing you need to do, listen, if you've never obeyed the gospel, if you've not put Christ on in baptism with an obedient faith, that's number one on your list. That puts you into the hand of God. You can't end right if you don't begin right. That's the first step if you haven't done that. If you've done that and along the way you lost your way because of the turmoil, because of the pain, because of the anguish, it's time to come back home. Let us show you the love of Christ. Let's get you reconciled to God. Let's take care of the important things. Or if you just need encouragement, if you need strength, please don't hesitate. Let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.